This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Live Your Spa Life Show. I am so thrilled to have our guest today, Ron Hall, who has been an international art dealer for over 30 years, and he has reinvented himself as an author. You guys are going to want to stay tuned and hear how things have shifted and changed. For Ron, I've had such the pleasure to meet him out in Dallas for the eWomen Conference, and we had a beautiful dinner with him and his beautiful wife, Beth. And Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Diane. It was a pleasure having dinner with you.
So good. So after writing your first book, you know, Same Kind of Different as Me, it 13 times became a New York bestseller and stayed on the list for 3.5 years. You know, please tell our listeners a little bit about your journey and what inspired you around the book. This is such a fascinating story.
Well, as you know, I told you in 1998, my late wife, her name was Deborah, she had a dream, a literal dream, about a homeless man. And the next morning after her dream, she said, "Ron, I had this dream about a man who is poor but wise, and by his wisdom, our city will be changed." And she said, I saw his face in the dream. And if you would go with me into the inner city to help me see if I can find this man, to find out if my dream is real. And so I knew she wasn't crazy. And the next morning, at her insistence, we get in our car and we start driving around the inner city of Fort Worth, Texas. And we drove, you know, several hours through the inner city where all the homeless hang out, but we didn't see anyone that that looked like the man of her dream. So we decided just to stop and begin serving at a homeless shelter there in that neighborhood. And we had been serving an evening meal there for about 2 weeks when all of a sudden this giant looking African-American man storms in the dining hall of the mission, and he begins screaming. He says, "I'm going to kill whoever done it. I'm going to kill whoever stole my shoes." And I mean, I was so afraid because I didn't really want to be there. I was doing it, you know, to be nice to my wife.
Absolutely.
But I was terrified at his demeanor and what he was screaming. There was mass pandemonium. He started beating up people and turning over tables and cursing and throwing just people around. So my wife started screaming, "That's him, that's him." And I said, "That's who?" And she said, "That's the man in my dream." And I said, "Which one?" And she said, "The one threatening to kill everybody." So I looked at this guy first of all, she looked at me and she said, "And I believe I heard from God that you have to be his friend and find out if our dream is real." And I said, "But honey, I was not at that meeting you had with God. If I'm going to be friends with someone who wants to kill everybody, I think I should go talk to God myself." But
right, right.
And that's the guy that was standing next to me. I said, "Who is this crazy man?" He said, "We don't even know his name, but he's been on the streets longer than anybody can remember. And most people just call him suicide because messing with him is the equivalent of committing suicide."
Wow. So I just have to interject here because, you know, this is such an amazing thing. I mean, talk about how you create your life. I mean, you had, you know, so much accomplishment, you know, as an art dealer and kind of this like safe suburban life, if you will, but then to step out into, you know, changing your life in the way that you did and to step in, you know, based on a dream. I mean, you know, some of our listeners are also viewers and they're going to be looking at this here on Facebook Live. And I would love for them to put comments in here. You know, how many of you have heard a dream and, you know, you're not even sure how to act on it? I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy enough to step into doing something different and stepping outside of the box. And, you know, when we talk about spa life, it's about having harmony and accomplishment together. And sometimes we hear something that is much bigger than ourselves. So I would love to have in some of the comments here, you know, what are some of the big dreams that you've heard that either you've acted on or maybe even you've been afraid to act on, but to put it in there, because this is part of the conversation that we're having is, you know, listening to something. And I know, Ron, that this was kind of a terrifying moment for you to kind of, it's like stepping from safety into something that was completely the unknown.
Well, exactly. I mean, I was expecting the man in her dream to be a much kinder, gentler person. I was not expecting him to be a schizophrenic, a crazy man who, as it turns out, you know, was a killer on the run, basically,
that
was in prison and all kinds of things. So.
That's so good. And I also want to interject in here too, that, you know, I know a lot of times on Facebook Live and also, you know, even on the podcast, if some people have to kind of come and go to listen to the story, for those of you that do need to go, please make sure you're going to want to hear the full story of this. You're going to get tidbits from Ron and I, but you can go to the same kind of different as me. There's a charity associated with this, and you can go to skodam.org to be able to connect in and be able to really get some more information around this. So Ron, please tell us what's next.
Okay. Well, a lot of things there's on our Facebook page as well. Just the Same Kind of Different as Me movie, Same Kind of Different as Me film is also is on our Facebook page, that people can get more information on the story, as well as our book, Same Kind of Different as Me. Like you said, it was the New York Times bestseller for 3.5 years. So, it's not hard to find the book. So,
yeah, I love that. So, you know, we'll get back into the story here in a second. You know, one of the things I wanted to share with our listeners is that so many times people live a life of default where they just kind of let things happen to them. And we really want to look at how it is that you can design your life and that you can be really intentional with your life. And I'm sure you had a certain design that you wanted to have for your life. Things shifted with the dream and stepping into. So having this new information and really stepping into something different from your life, how did you design your life from that point forward? What was different?
Well, from that point forward, you know, I had been 30 years as an international art dealer, traveling the world, selling important masterpieces to museums and big collectors in most major countries. And when I began living this story with this homeless man, And my late wife, he became so encouraging to me. This man became my professor, and I was his student. Here's a man who'd never been to school a day in his life, who had never learned to read or write, and who had been roped and dragged by the Ku Klux Klan when he was 13 years old for helping a white woman change a flat tire on a plantation. And on that day, he vowed he would never again speak to a white person, especially a white woman, as long as he lived. And he was 65 years old when I met him, and he had maintained that promise to himself his whole life, and he had never spoken to white people. So we were the first to actually break that barrier. It took me 5 months of pursuing him through the inner city to actually get him in my car and take him to breakfast one morning to begin finding out this information about this poor man who was wise, and by his wisdom, our city would be changed. And it was interesting that this simple woman's dream, very, very just simple dream of a poor man who was wise, is now is a national movement. And cities all across America now are being changed by the wisdom of this poor homeless man. So.
Well, Ron, I know that you have, and for those of you who don't know, and you know, definitely you guys can go to the site. Again, it's skodam.org where you can hear more about it. But this homeless person's name, it was Denver. And so I know that there's a lot of like quotes and inspirational things, some things that Denver said that was, you know, very inspirational and wise. Ron, what is one of your favorite quotes from Denver?
Well, I mean, one of the first days that after we got to be friends and I was 6 months into knowing him, I was just decided I would walk the streets with him and find out what it was like to be homeless. So we were sitting on the curb one day and I said, Denver, what's it like to be homeless? And he said, I don't know. Why don't you tell me? And I said, Denver, I've never been homeless. I don't know how to answer that question. And he looked at me and he said, Mr. Ron, let me tell you something. Whether we's rich or whether we's poor or with something in between, this earth ain't no final resting place. So in a way, we's all homeless, just working our way back home.
Wow. Wow. You know, you think about all the things and the trials and tribulation that Denver experienced in his life and growing up, and to have that inner wisdom and to be able to share it and have it come out there. I mean, wow. Did it just feel like you were in like a university, you know, educational program every time you were with him?
Exactly. I mean, his classroom was the curb in the inner city of Fort Worth, where and his home actually classroom was a dumpster. He lived by a dumpster, and he used the dumpster as his getting his back, because the dumpster was always at his back when he sat there, so no one could attack him from the rear. So yes, that was a very unusual classroom, but he taught me, he said one of the first days too, he said, He said, do you mind if I ask you a question? And I said, well, what do you want to know? He said, why is it all you Christians worship one homeless man on Sunday, then turn your back on the first one you see on Monday?
Wow.
And I said, Bender, I said, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. And he said, Mr. Ron, let me tell you something. You never know whose eyes God is watching you out of. And it ain't going to be your preacher or your Sunday school teacher. It might just be a fellow like me. He said, it ain't me, but it might be a fellow just like me. So be on the lookout. You never know whose eyes God is watching you out of.
That's amazing. Just from the awareness of who we're having conversation with and who to be, you know, present with and to have that happen. So I find this so fascinating. I love your journey and just the courage that it took for you to step outside of your comfort zone and to be into that unknown zone that Sandra Yancey talks about so much about how you were showing up differently in your life and in your world. So with that, I'd love to kind of shift into, you know, another concept that people talk about, and I feel like this is almost like people wear this as a badge of honor in terms of, you know, when you ask them how they are about saying that they're busy. And I really almost feel like this is the newest addiction is the busy addiction, is just the busyness that people have, and that we all have 24 hours in a day. You know, what are some of your, what I would call spa life secrets, how you accomplish things and you remain in harmony, you know, that you get the most impact out of your day? Because I know that you're doing a lot of different things.
I do a lot of different things and I am never bored because I love my life. I have a beautiful wife to share that with. But I'd say that every night, Beth, my wife, is very big into lists. And so we have a list going every day and we check it off. And every night we make a new list for tomorrow so that we can plan our day and how we can accomplish the most during that day. I don't get tired and I don't get bored. So I just look forward to each day and working down the list. And because I, you know, not only am I a writer, but I'm also involved in many other things and as well as producing the film and writing the film and promoting the film. But I also, you know, was rancher and cowboy and artist and many, many other things. So
I love this. I know as part of writing, I know you're currently writing a pilot for a TV series as well as a Broadway play. Can you give us some insights as to what you're writing about?
Well, on the TV series, I've written the pilot and I'm sketching out the first two seasons and I've been pitching it to some networks, but it's really about the art world. It's the, let's say that maybe the drug, sex, and alcohol behind big art deals. You know, many times we walk into a major museum and you see a great Picasso or masterpiece hanging on the wall, and you just sit there and get absorbed in the painting itself. But many times the backstory and how the painting ended up there hanging on the wall is much more interesting, from the artist itself who was painting it to the people that bought it and how it then was transferred in ownership down through the ages, what we call provenance. And many times there's a lot of intrigue and mystery and great stories behind every painting that's hanging on the wall. And as an art dealer for 30 years, I sold many, many masterpieces. And very, very often, the backstory behind them was much more interesting than the painting itself. So.
Right, absolutely. I just find that fascinating that you've had this international experience. How did you first become an art dealer?
Well, I went to college to get an MBA in finance and was a municipal bond trader and investment banker. And on one of the first weeks that I was working in that industry, I met an art dealer in Houston, Texas, who had just come back from Paris on a buying trip. And I thought, wow, that's a fascinating thing. I'm down here in Houston, Texas, buying water and sewer bonds. And I mean, that sounds much more interesting, going to Paris and buying French Impressionist paintings, but I didn't even know what a French Impressionist painting was. So, right. You know, I began to explore that, and the man actually sold me a painting the first day that I couldn't pay for. I wrote a hot check for it and had to go borrow the money to cover it. I borrowed the money for 90 days, and the bank that I was working for told me, you know, you have to pay this off in 90 days or your job would be at stake. So I thought, wow, I don't know how I'm going to do this other than get out and try to sell it. So right. I spent every off hour from working on weekends and evenings trying to sell this painting. And after 90 days, on the 90th day, I sold it for more than I made in 6 months at the bank. I made more profit on the painting than I would have just working every day. So I thought, wow, this is really a fun business. Maybe I should do more. So anyway, I got started as a part-time art dealer, and it developed into obviously a very lucrative and profitable career. So.
Right. I love that so much. And, you know, for our Facebook audience, I would love for them to kind of put in the comments, you know, being that Ron is an international art dealer, I know that people are going to be listening to this all over the world. So I'd love to put in the comments, you know, where you are in the world listening to this. And, you know, just for conversation, because, you know, we're going to come back around and look at some of these comments, is what is your favorite piece of art? Or what is your experience in your life where you're maybe doing one thing and you've got your eye on the prize of something that really inspires you? Because when we talk about spa life, it's about having accomplishment and harmony together. And so how are you incorporating that in your life? I'd love to hear your comments. And you know, if you find this story is just as fascinating as I do about Denver, please share this. Please comment it, you know, and get it out there. Put your likes and your hearts and those things, because this is a fascinating story of what people are up to. And so for those of you that need to jump off or get out of your car, if you're watching on the podcast, you know, make sure that you grab this link here for Same Kind of Different as Me, which is skodam.org, to get all the more information about this story, as well as if you are ready to step into more of your spa life and have more of this balance and this richness to your life. Also look at my free gift at dianehoffman.com/guide. So, you know, we are not even close to being done with this conversation. So if you're here for the long haul to stick with us, then let's just jump back in. Ron, I find your life so fascinating. And I'd love for you to talk more about the rodeo, how that became part of your life.
Well, you know, I grew up on a ranch in Texas. My grandfather was a cowboy. My great grandfathers were drovers on the Chisholm Trail, driving cattle north to Kansas City, where the closest railroad was to Texas. So it's in my blood. And my grandfather put me on a calf the first time when I was 5 years old. And that was my Christmas present. If I would ride this calf, and then I got it as a Christmas present. So it was in my blood, and I began very early doing rodeo things in high school. You know, I tried being a bull rider. I wasn't very successful in bucking horses, but later in life, I took up the sport of team roping, as I had a ranch and was very active on the ranch and with my horses and all of that. So I loved just being a part of it. I was never good enough to compete at a high level, but you know, with my buddies in local rodeos, I just started team roping. So,
well, what I love about this, I mean, especially for our listeners, you know, there's things that are introduced into our life and we can incorporate them in many different ways. We build upon what our strengths are and how we reflect them out in the world. So just being in the rodeo world that you had, you know, Ron, you also were able to embrace other aspects of yourself, you know, in art and your passion about art. And you actually put these two things together in terms of, you know, your passion for art and expression in a creative way and your rodeo world and being a rancher. And you did something that I don't think I've heard before, is that you've created cowboy poetry. Please tell us a little bit about that.
Well, cowboy poetry goes way back to the 19th century when the cowboys were pushing cattle up the Chisholm Trails and the other trails to Kansas City. And obviously at night they had nothing else to do except sit around the campfire and eat their dinners off the chuck wagon. And so they would begin just saying verses and writing poetry and writing letters, you know, back home. But it began, it was a very, I guess, traditional way for cowboys to communicate and back in those days. And so it's been passed down through the ages. And one of my best friends was the official cowboy poet of the state of Texas, the poet laureate of the state of Texas, a man named Red Steagall. And so I used to go to these cowboy gatherings where all these old cowboys would come in from their ranches and give the poetry that they had written. And I was so fascinated about it that I started writing cowboy poetry as well and performing it at some of the gatherings. So
I love it. Do you have a couple lines you want to share with our audience?
Spring gathering in the Paladur Canyon, a cowboy's fantasy, they say. Many would forfeit their day money just to brand on Goodnight's J.A. These dreams are more likely to happen to a city slicker than a sure enough working hand, especially if you're a buddy old Red Steagall and you're willing to part with a grand. His letter said, for just $1,000, you can pitch your teepee next to mine. Don't matter if you can rope and drag, you can saddle your horse, you'll do just fine. Anyway, it just, these things go on, it takes like 15 minutes to tell that whole poem, but it's just a form of communicating your feelings as a cowboy when you don't have, it's a lonely life out there by yourself. And so you just, at night you write poetry. So
I love that so much. And, you know, we're talking about how you can, you know, really bring all the different aspects of your life and be able to communicate at a much deeper level. And so you've really taken all the different artistic aspects of yourself and really brought them into the world, whether it's been in your book or writing plays. And now, you know, the movie is coming out about your life experiences, you know, with Denver and your wife and how you really, really made a big impact in the world of the homeless. And so we definitely want to share more about the opening of that movie is coming out October 20th of this year in 2017. So we're really, you know, doing a shout out to people to really be part of this movement and really, you know, embrace this story. So Ron, tell me about where you're going to be on October 20th when this opens up and what is your intention and hope for how this impacts the world?
Well, as far as where I'll be on October the 20th, I'm not sure yet because Paramount, our partner, Paramount Pictures, has not given me my marching orders yet. They just told me to keep the whole week open. So I'm not exactly certain where I will be, but the movie really is a great movie of hope and redemption. And it's the same name as our book, same kind of different as me. And you can see the trailer online right now if you just Google same kind of different as me, movie trailer, or Paramount or PureFlix, our distributor. But it's a film that I really hope that everyone leaves the theater and be able to see the homeless through the lenses of God. You know, our movie illustrates beautifully that it's not the color of our skin that divides our country. It's the condition of our hearts. And if we get the condition of our hearts right, we will all come together as a nation. And I just hope it impacts cities across the nation the way that our book has. And it's been our book has been life-changing for many people that have read it and for many cities that have endorsed the book. So that's my hope is for the film. So.
Right. I love that so much. I'd actually love you to talk a little bit more about that. Talk about, you know, it's not about, you know, the color of skin, but about, you know, the condition of our heart. You know, tell me a little bit more about that and how that came about.
Well, first of all, my wife had a very literal dream about this man. And this is not something that I wanted to do personally, but the backstory to that is that after 18 years of marriage, I had an affair. And so she forgave me for that affair and never brought it up again. But for that forgiveness, I had promised that I would do anything she asked me the rest of our lives together. And so, you know, I had to get the condition of my heart right. She had to get the condition of her heart right to be able to forgive me for that and for me never to do that again. But it was actually 10 years later when she had her dream about Denver. And so in order to be friends with a very dangerous homeless man, she had to get her heart right, knowing that, you know, inside his heart, there was a good person that she could see through all the anger and the confusion. And she could see a life worth saving and something that could be used mightily. And so, you know, I just illustrate that with the story that, you know, because of the love of a woman, a most unlikely woman to love the most unlikely homeless man, a national movement has begun. And so that's what it's all about, because I would have never, ever been friends with somebody like that unless, you know, my heart had been touched to be able to step out of my comfort zone and to begin a friendship.
Yeah, I find that just so amazing that, you know, it's kind of like feeling the fear, the fear of that and doing it anyway, to really have to be in tune with the condition of your heart to actually be able to step out of what, if you were looking from a conscious place. I mean, you and I have talked about, you know, my background in law enforcement and, you know, it's like minimizing danger and not having things in your space that can cause you harm. And you really stepped in harm's way and really listened to that deeper message to be able to extract the jewels that Denver brought into your life. And I find that fascinating because so many people would just dismiss that inner calling in their heart?
Well, yes, I would have loved to have dismissed that because I actually thought he might kill me. And my mind was playing tricks on me, thinking, wow, my wife that I cheated on now has a man that she is her dream man. And her dream man now is a dangerous killer. And so he's going to come kill me for cheating on her. And so this is the way my mind was playing tricks on me.
Right.
Because you know, the man was, the first few times that I would see him, he would scream at me at the top of his lungs, "Why don't you and your wife leave me alone? I've had no peace in my life since your skinny little wife showed up on the streets." And he said, "What do y'all want from me, man? Just, I want you to leave me alone." I said, "Hey, I just want to be your friend." And he looked at me with this incredulous look and he said, "You want to be my friend?" I said, "Man, I'm going to think about that."
Well, what a paradigm shift for him as well. I mean, not only from you coming from your safety zone, he's created a life for him, which would be safe based on his experience where, you know, he had so much torment to then step into something bigger for himself and what friendship meant for him. I mean, what an amazing chasm that you both had to cross in order to actually bridge that kind of friendship.
Yes, exactly. So it was a big chasm up, actually, for both of us. He wasn't looking for any friends,
right?
White friends. And I wasn't looking for any dangerous homeless friends. But God had a bigger picture for this. And he brought us together and gave us a great story that we tell. Because, you know, as you know, the story has many, many, many layers to it. And how he was a prophetic person and how he brought to us and told us how our lives were going to be unfolding and what was going to be happening and when it was going to be happening.
Right.
And he was never wrong.
Right. So that in itself is pretty, you know, a lot of people say that they want to know what is before them, but when you actually have someone in your life who has the prophecy that he has, and you started seeing the things that he was saying coming true, anywhere from, you know, your wife's illness to the impact you were going to make in the homeless community, did that inspire you or did it instill more fear? Like when things he was saying was actually coming true?
Well, at first it instilled fear in me because I didn't know if he was making these things up and I didn't know if he had some power to bring them about. And so it was fearful at first. But then as he told me that something bad was getting ready to happen to my wife, and 3 days later she was diagnosed with cancer and given, you know, between 3 months and a year to live. She actually lived 19 months. But during that 19 months that she lived, he would knock on our door every morning and bring us a fresh, relevant message that was always, most of the time, encouraging. He would tell us what was going to happen next. And we would say what the doctors had said. And he said, "Well, you know, the doctors are not right in this case. This is really what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to go down."
Right.
Even on the last day that she was alive, he came to say, "This is it." You know, he said, "I was, you know, by his dumpster." He didn't always say I was by the dumpster, but, you know, I knew where he was spending the night. So he said, "You know, last night I was talking to God and he told me," he said, "Denver, go tell Miss Debbie to lay down her torch for the homeless and you pick it up and carry it the rest of your life."
Wow.
And so that's, he came to tell us that on that day. And Debbie's final words to me after he left the room were, "Don't give up on Denver. God is going to bless your friendship in a way you can never imagine." And later that evening, she went to heaven. And so, you know, I marveled at how the most dangerous, craziest homeless man, illiterate homeless man, would be the one that for 19 months had encouraged us the most through the most difficult days of our lives, the darkest days of our lives. And then, but, you know, when I would sit and reflect on it, I would think, wow, isn't that just like God? I mean, if we believe in God, we want a God like that. So that,
right,
that surprises us and that we feel like it knows us and understands us. So.
Right. Well, you know, it kind of begs the question. I mean, how many versions of of God is being reflected with the people around us. You know, I feel like, you know, nothing happens by chance. The people that we encounter each day, you know, the things that we are choosing to do, you know, are a reflection of those voices that, you know, God is coming through different messengers. And, you know, are we listening to those? Are we really being true to our own inner wisdom to really live those things that we're living? So I love this story. I'm so looking forward to the movie coming out on October 20th. And, you know, one kind of final question I wanted to ask about is when we talk about spa life, one of the first things that we look at is someone's physical space. So it's interesting that we're having a conversation with homeless where you don't have a home and you're outside out in the world. However, I know like in your home, particularly your home as an art dealer, I'm sure you have a lot of things that really inspire you within your home. And we want to have a different experience in each of the different rooms of our home. So, you know, you want to have a different experience in your bedroom than you do in your kitchen versus like a family room. So I'd love to know, what is your favorite room in your home and why?
You know, I don't necessarily have a favorite room. We gave up a large home that we had. We sold and gave everything away. And when my wife and I married 6 years ago, we gave away all of our possessions. We sold all of our art, basically. We gave a lot of the money to the homeless. We gave it to my children. And my new wife, Beth, and I began life together as just two college kids out of college with nothing. And it's been very, very fun. So everything that we have in our home now, our art, is just things that were given to us. Mm-hmm. And so we live with the gift and generosity of others because we work for the homeless. So we don't now try to show off anything or, you know, I had a very big contemporary art collection that I loved the most. And I had all the major contemporary artists that you see in museums. And I had a big contemporary home that was filled with those treasures for me. But they all became meaningless to me now because I enjoy just the peace and solitude and quiet time when I can reflect on it and I can write as I hear. So I'd say my office where I spend most of my day writing is very good. I have a lot of memorabilia in there from making the movie, from our movie posters, my director's chair, you know, all of these things that just were now memorabilia. But, you know, if I could just have one sculpture, it would reflect spa life. And that would be an Alberto Giacometti Femme de Venise, which is a tall, skinny woman. So...
I love that. I love that so much. And, you know, it was such a pleasure meeting you and Beth. And I look forward to having you both come to one of our couple spa life retreats and be able to connect further. I find I'm so honored of the things that you two are doing and look forward to spending more time together.
Thank you, Diane. I enjoyed meeting you and look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely. So listeners, I know you're going to want to hear more about Ron's story and about Denver and the impact on the homeless community. And, you know, please put on your calendar this, you know, October 20th, 2017, and, you know, grab some friends. This is going to be an important conversation. This is going to be something that's going to have impact on people of how we interact with people, how we look at the messages that we receive in the world, how you're living your spa life, where that lifestyle of having that accomplishment in harmony. This is a way to incorporate some harmony into your life. So please go to, you know, Ron's charitable site at for Same Kind of Different as Me, which is SKODAM.org. You'll have all the information there. You'll be able to see where this film comes out in the world and, you know, embrace this. See what message that there is for you in this message to see what it is and the kind of impact that you'll have. And if you would like to have more spa life in your life, I also invite you to get my free gift at DianeHoffman.com/guide and really start creating, you know, the relationships, taking care of yourself, being out in nature, and being able to have the things in your life that allows you to be your best self, that you can step into the bigger things that you are here to do, to have impact in the bigger things we're doing here in the world, whether it's the, you know, the homeless, connecting with our family, you know, having more peace in your life. We all are here to do those things together. So again, Ron, thank you so much for your time and being here today. And for all of our listeners out there today, as always, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and spa life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. go to DianeHaffman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.